Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, August 7th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Are You Available? Our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 20. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Matthew chapter 28, I thought we would do something having to do with the Great Commission and the preaching of the gospel and baptizing, and so here we go. I'd like to share with you something from Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15, and we're going to read that, and then we're going to read another portion that follows the same text, because it deals with what it means to serve the Lord. And we start in Acts 28, and it's verse 11, and it reads this way. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we are asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." And verse 15, so the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. This is the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the commission given by the Sanhedrin, the chief rulers of the synagogue, to make sure that no one would steal the body and that it would remain in the sepulcher. But as we all know the story, he rose from the dead. And so we find ourselves, the Jewish authorities were in a desperate place, desperately worried people. They had tried everything conceivable to do away with Jesus of Nazareth, just to see what we can do, persecuted. And finally, they crucify him, and he goes through horrific, horrible moments of his life. And yet, well, when he's dead, we finally put him away. Now we can breathe easily. It's now done. And then he rose from the dead. You can't keep a good man down, can you? It's amazing. It's amazing. And so what happens is what politicians always do. When things don't go the way they want it to go, they counsel together. They get together at committee and they start talking as to what they're going to do to fix this mess. And that's exactly what they did. Scripture says they counseled together. And they made a very important decision, official decision. They decided on a three-point strategy. First, we're going to bribe the soldiers. Secondly, we're going to lie about the body. And thirdly, we're going to protect you guys. That sounds like things we hear all the time, don't we? Well, anyway, it begins with a bribe. Oh, my. Let's not talk about bribes today, shall we? Because we can't afford the time. But they were bribed. And doesn't tell us how much money they were paid to keep their mouth shut. But there were at least a dozen soldiers. It was a lot of money. All they did so that they could just keep their mouth shut, they bought them. And they say, "We're going to give you. You keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Keep it like that. Don't you dare say the truth. Just keep telling the lie. Keep telling the lie." And here we thought that was new today. People have been lying from the day the serpent entered the garden and Adam and Eve lied and fell. So bribes is the first thing they do. Then the second is this great plan. And you got to just say this to people. The disciples came by night. They stole the body. And yet, it's amazing how it comes in the story of Matthew, because if this had not been true, I mean, if it was true, let's say, they would have never had to bribe anybody. No, he rose from the dead. He came out of the grave. He's the Son of God. But they needed to know somehow, some way to convince people that this was all a hoax, that this was something that was not true. And so the first persons to lie of the message of the gospel were the soldiers. And these men were pagans. They were materialistic. They were self-indulgent. They were hardened. They were just a rough crowd. They were paid to lie. They were paid to lie. And the third part of the Sanhedrin's and what they did, they offered, of course, protection to the soldiers. Say, don't worry, we got you covered. Don't worry, we're going to got you covered. Everything's going to be okay. Why I think it's important is to know that they did everything they could to destroy Jesus. They used treachery to hold him. They used illegalities to try him. They used slander to charge him before Pilate. And now they were using bribery to silence the truth about him. But they failed. A lot of things may be going on in your life. And you might, one way or the other, try to put Jesus away from your life, or not to pay attention to him, or he'll go away, or if I could just think about something else. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he will never pass away. Amen. He is the Word of God. And it's good to know that it didn't work. And it's good it didn't work, because we sometimes need to be reassured that not all the evil things are successful today. Eventually, the truth comes out, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to get this idea that in the most sacred of all moments, in the most powerful moments of God's love being demonstrated to you and to me, the cross and the resurrection, men and women were against him, and they did everything they could to suppress the truth who Jesus is. I want you to know there's a lot of pressures in your own life that would like to take away the importance and the singularity of Jesus in your life. But nevertheless, it won't work. If you open your hearts and you say, Lord, come into my life, you will see how important Jesus can be to you, and your life will be transformed. Eventually, you will find out how important Jesus is. But it goes on, because there's a rest of the passage, verses 16 through 20. Let's read that together again as we began this morning. It's this way. Eventually, it will come up. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end, the very end of the age. I suppose as we read the scriptures, we find that this ending of the gospel is really the capstone of everything that the gospels are about. If I could say to you that to understand all the gospels, you must understand this verse. The climax of the gospels is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The great commission to let other people know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is the culmination. It is the fulfillment of the Old Testament and, of course, of the New Testament, that we are to preach the gospel to every creature, that we are to go and let everybody know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that we are to baptize them and make disciples, and that we are to do this all over the world. So let me say a couple of things. First of all, this passage talks about the disciples, and I like it, because it says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. We don't know where that mountain was, by the way. We don't know where the Lord told them to go. But the 11 disciples were there along with other people. Some people believe up to 500 were present. And it's an act of obedience from part of the disciples. The disciples made themselves accessible to what the Lord was asking them to do. You know, so simple. Really, it is so simple. They went where the Lord wanted them to be. And you and I need to learn this great lesson. We must be where the Lord wants us to be. as far as serving God, as far as service to God is concerned, the greatest ability is availability, that you make yourself available to the Lord. So this morning, to all you disciples, to all of us this morning, is, are you available to follow through on what the Lord is asking you to do? Are you available? Are you available? Did you know that you may have great talents and you may be very gifted, but it's useless if you don't make them available to the Lord? You need to say to the Lord, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm available to you, Lord. And the disciples, well, they went where Jesus told them to go. They were available to do that. Faithful discipleship does not begin knowing where you're going to go. It begins by being available to go anywhere. So myself and so many others that have followed me and were before me, when they went to Bible college and they were studying for the ministry, the question was, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to be? And often people would say to me, you're an evangelist. Others would say, you must be a visionary. Others say, you may be a pastor. Who knows what they would say? And in my own mind, I was asking myself the question, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And I had no real clue of certainty. I knew that was somewhere, but I never knew where. And to tell you the truth, the last thing I personally wanted to do was to be a pastor and to be in Los Angeles. It's not what you want to do, it's your willingness to go where he tells you where to go. And it's amazing how it is. It doesn't begin with knowing where. It's simply serving the Lord with whatever capacities I may have where he wants me to be. Of course, you reconcile yourself and you're happy where God places you, because I want you to know that ministry does never starts with a clear understanding of where you're going. It doesn't. It's not clear cut. It's something that God deals with you personally, intimately. He works in your heart. But it begins with being available to God without any reservations, without preconditioning, saying, Lord, what will you have me do? Lord, here I am. I am available. And those who are baptized today are saying that to the Lord. Lord, here I am. I'm available. I'm available to you. And so the 500 and some people who came to see where the Lord wanted them to be, whatever the mountain was, that mountain became a sacred place, because there the disciples came with their weakness, with their confusion, with their doubts, with their misgivings, with their tears, that's how we all come to the Lord. Where God calls us to a place of service, we all go to a place, and often we carry in that place weakness and confusion, and we bring our doubts and our misgiving. It's not a clear cut. It's a step of faith. It is believing God, God working in your life. Lord, I don't have all the answers, but here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Often, those who are in ministry have to renew their vows, because if they don't, they go crazy. And we come to the Lord often with our weaknesses and with our confusions and with our doubts and with his misgivings and our fears. And I have always found at the end of all of those is God's grace is sufficient for every task. And God's got you covered. Again, in my notes, I say here people are going to stand up and scream and yell. And of course not. You don't do that. That's the kind of a congregation we have over here. Very, very introspective. And you know, the people who came to Christ after he rose from the dead, they were not the most humanly capable people in the world. They were not the smartest by the standards of the world. They were not the most intelligent ones. They were not the most powerful ones. They were not the most influential ones. But you know what? They went and came to what the Lord wanted them to be, and that obedience gave evidence of their willingness to serve him, and that's all it takes. A heart that is surrendered to the Lord and says, Lord, here I am, send me. If we wait to feel, you know, what, capable, we'll never move. Because God is the one that gives you the capacity, the bandwidth to do what he wants you to do. Because at the end of the day, it's not you, but him working through you. And your availability of life, your availability to say, yes, Lord, have your way, makes all the difference in the world. We have three people who have been baptized today, and they're being called by the Lord, and they're saying, the Lord is saying, then, you know, come to this mountain where I want to talk to you. And you may or may not want to go, but you're going to go there. And the rest of us will be with them, the rest of the 500 that were accounted in that place. And hopefully and prayfully, like Isaiah after that vision in chapter 6, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Shall we all say it together? Here I am, Lord. Send me. And you know, because they were there, because they heard God's voice and they were obedient, because they were there, they met Christ, the risen Christ. And when you go to your appointed place, you will meet the risen Christ. And because you were there, you will be commissioned. They were commissioned. And because they were there, God worked in our lives. See, it all begins by being available. Second thing, it says they worshiped. When they saw him, they worshiped him, and some doubted. There is no way to serve God unless you worship him. You cannot truly serve God unless you worship God. No matter how talented you are, no matter how smart you are, how gifted you are, how much money you have, how much education you have, how well-intentioned you may be, you start serving God by worshiping him. It is our reasonable service. We worship the Lord. The moment Jesus appeared to them, they worship. And when Jesus appears to you, when he shows up in your life, you need to worship him. Worship means the totality of entering into the presence of God and knowing that he's God and you're not. All of the issues of life get resolved. Somebody said, instead of worrying, worship. It's when you enter into his presence. You do so in your heart. Inside of you, the Lord is there. And you start saying, Lord, I'm in your presence. And you worship him. You thank God for who he is. And God will reveal himself to you. As a matter of fact, it was at that time that they worshiped the Lord that their confusion disappeared. Are you confused? Worship the Lord. All their shattered dreams of a Messiah that would deliver them from the yoke of Rome, all of that disappeared because they knew that it was not going to go that route. It was going to be something completely different. The kingdom of God had come to them, and all their shattered dreams were restored because they knew God had a plan for their lives and knew the Lord knew how to get you there, how to get them there. And their sorrow turning to, of course, unbelievable joy. And though there was disillusion in life, they had an unwavering hope because they saw Jesus. Jesus is calling you to that designated mountain, to that designated place in your heart. He's calling you to everybody, not just the three, but all of us. God is calling us to that mountain, calling us to that place where he needs to speak to us, that place where he needs to address the issues of our life. Graciously, as you come, Jesus will speak to you, just as this verse said. Imagine that. By being available, by going to the mountain, by going to this place in your heart in the presence of God, he will speak to you. And his words will echo in your heart. You will hear the Lord. That familiar voice of God, all uncertainty will go away. You know, it's amazing how Matthew says that some people doubted. And that's why I love the scriptures, because the scripture tells the truth. Yeah. Not everybody believes. Yeah, not everybody understands it. Some people reject it. But let me just tell you this much. If this would be a phony scripture, it would say everybody believed and everybody loved it. He says, you know, some didn't believe. And it happens like that. That's the reality of life. The scripture doesn't lie about its heroes, doesn't lie about the failures and successes. It tells the truth. And I know for a fact, unfortunately, this morning, that some will not believe. And some will go home not thinking twice about what we've said here. But others will believe. And I pray the Lord for those who do believe. Because those who believed and saw fell down and joined the others in worship, worshiping the Lord. And nothing else now mattered. They saw the risen Christ. So it may... no difference who these people were. And they were from all over the area. They did make no difference what heritage they have. It didn't care whether they came in the caravan or not. Silencio en la noche otra vez esta gente. Didn't make any difference where they were born, how much money they had, what economic position they had, what social position they have, what the nationality was. It made no difference whatsoever. They were in the presence of the living God and all have become one under his love. So, three things Jesus did for the disciples, and then we'll have communion. He assured them of their power. He said, all power is given to me. And so as you gather and you hear Jesus speaking to you, and he speaks to me, he says, I have all the power and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Nothing was outside the power of Jesus who died and conquered death. Nothing. Nothing. So we're now the servants of a master whose authority upon earth and in heaven was beyond all questions. So when the Lord speaks to you, he speaks to you with authority, with power. He can make it happen. Secondly, he gave them a commission to you and to me. He sent them out. Go to all the world and make not decisions, but make disciples. Discipleship means that you grow in the knowledge and in the grace of God's word. It means you become more and more like Christ. It's not a one-time shot in the dark. It's not raising your hand one day and living like the devil the rest of the days. It's not signing on a card, but a disciple means a follower of, a learner. Make learners throughout the whole world. The instructions to baptize, the first thing you do, and then is the development of actual deeds and works in the life of those who are being baptized. I tell you, it's a commission to win all men and women in the entire planet. There's not a place in this world that the gospel should not have relevance. It has. And one of the great things about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is so pliable. Did you know that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is more pliable to all the cultures of the world than all the other cultures? It is so elastic. It accommodates itself in any culture in the world. Not Muslim faith, no way. See, so there's 176,000 conversions every single day around the world today. Did you know that? The largest church in the world is in Seoul, Korea. When in 1900, people thought in Korea, we will never be able to bring the church. It's an amazing. They have 7,000 churches in Seoul, Korea, capital of South Korea. The gospel of Jesus Christ, pliable, enters every type of culture. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The commission is to the whole world. The last thing is, the Lord promised a presence. He said, I will never leave you alone to do the task that I've asked you to do. Some of the jobs that I've had in the past, I remember supervisors coming and telling me what to do, and then they walk away and hope me to sink or swim. That happens sometimes. The Lord says, oh, no, no, no. I'll tell you what to do, but I'll be right there with you to help you so that it will happen. It must have been staggering for these 11 disciples and those that joined them to think that they were sent to conquer the world. Joe? Yeah. And I'm sure that the hearts failed, but the Lord was there. But just as soon as the Lord gave the command to go to the whole world, they were sent out, so to speak, to do the greatest task in history, but with the greatest companion that could ever be phantom, the Lord himself walking in their midst. So everything you will do for the Lord, you're doing it because you are available. Secondly, because you worship. And then thirdly, because you hear the words, and the words are power to you, a commission, and a presence that will never, ever go away. So we don't stand alone in this world. The Lord is with us. Amen. And I am so thankful for those who've been baptized this morning. But I'm thankful for the rest of you who know the Lord and are put in practice, the Great Commission. I pray that you will not forget the power that the Lord has given you. I hope that you will not forget the commission that he has bestowed upon you. And I hope you will never forget that he is with you, present, every single day of your life. Somebody said, and what does the Lord do every single day of my life? What does he do? Well, why don't you ask him? Let's ask him. Lord, what are you doing in my life? Be amazed. The first thing he does, he hears your petitions and understands who you are. And he accepts you for who you are. And he's involved in your life to transform those rough corners. But he always remembers that you and I are dust. He has a plan for you. It's called the resurrection. Has a plan for you and for me. He says, I go to my Father and to prepare a place that where I am, you will be with me also. It's more than just this world. It's a whole world that waits for all of us. So what is the Lord doing in your life? How are you responding to him? You look so happy this morning. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord and we'll move on. A very unique Sunday because we have communion today. And I say unique not because of communion, but because today we are having the two sacraments or the two ordinances of the church. The two things that we believe clearly the Lord said we need to do. One of them is baptizing people, and the second one is having communion. Communion is what follows discipleship. It's part of discipleship. It's a time of personal reflection in the presence of the Lord. It is a time to think about what God is doing in your life. And again, a time for exposing ourselves to him and saying, Lord, have your way in my life. I find that the Christian life is a life of purging. It's a life of introspection often. It's a life of just thinking, processing, and loving the Lord with all your heart. Look, none of us are perfect here, but there is a Lord who is perfect, and he's the one that's guiding our ship, guiding our life. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you will help us as we prepare for communion, that you would touch our hearts, that you would cause us, Lord, to be mindful of our discipleship. I pray, Lord, that you would direct us to that mountain, to that place where we can see you. Lord, help us to become available. Lord, let there be no rebellion in our heart, that we may be soft clay in your hand, that you may shape us as after your will, Lord, and help us to worship you as we find you, and dispel our doubts and our confusion, and work in our hearts, Lord, and rearrange our priorities to meet yours, Lord. And, oh, Lord, help us to understand and to hear your voice. Help us to see clearly, Lord, that there is a challenge before us. Lord, nothing is impossible. You have all the power in the world. Lord, we need to hear you clearly, Lord. And as we hear you, Lord, thank you for showing us purpose and direction. And Lord, thank you for being with us till the very end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Serve the Lord with all your heart. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the whole service with the worship time included, including today's baptisms, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bb4square.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.